Today, Australia's stark population choice. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is posts covering finance and property news. Well, there's a critical issue now on the table, and it relates to what the right level of migration should be. In recent times, the taps have been opened more than ever before, and there are significant consequences for households and housing affordability. Some are now calling for a significant cut in migration. Others, though, are celebrating the potential for more home price rises as demand outstrips supply across the country. AMP Chief Economist Shane Oliver said that Australia's annual immigration intake must shrink to 200,000 people, less than half of the current 500,000 odd, to avoid overwhelming government efforts to boost supply and to improve housing affordability. Emphasising comments he made at the Australian Financial Review Property Summit, Dr. Oliver said such a significant cut was necessary and that official budget forecasts of immigration were unreliable and understated the actual figures. Current immigration levels are running well in excess of the ability of the housing industry to supply enough homes, exacerbating an acute housing shortage and poor housing affordability, he said. Without addressing the high immigration level, I find it hard to see how we can resolve the housing shortage and affordability issues anytime soon. Without intervention, net immigration for the financial year ending June 2024 is likely to be 500,000 or more, well over the 400,000 figure forecast in the May budget, he said. So I think the best approach would be to cut immigration levels back to, say, we have 200,000, which is way below where they were even pre-pandemic, to line up with the building industry capacity and to reduce the supply shortfall, Dr. Oliver said. Home building supply capacity was around 200,000 dwellings a year, and the immigration intake would need to be slashed over a number of years to bring supply and demand into balance, he said. I think you need to slow immigration back to 200,000 a year, say over 5 years, to allow breathing space for supply to catch up, particularly with government programs to increase the supply of affordable and social housing, he said. While there were other ways to improve housing affordability, such as building higher density homes and decentralizing to the regions, these would have no immediate impact on the shortage, Dr. Oliver said. The target to build 1.2 million new homes over 5 years from July 2024, or 240,000 per annum, supported by 50,000 social and affordable homes, was a welcome solution, but it would be also challenging, he said. Australian governments are now focusing on boosting supply, but surging immigration levels could easily overwhelm these efforts and lead to an even worse situation, he said. So it's impossible to escape the conclusion that immigration levels need to be calibrated to the ability of the home building industry to supply housing. This is critical. Developer Neil Slattery, founder of Slattery Property Group, told the Australian Financial Review Property Summit that the labour force was not there to build enough homes to satisfy high levels of demand. If you have a look in Perth, for the last 8 years, we've finished around 13,000 homes while the demand was 18,000 to 20,000, he said. So if you look around Australia, most probably the underlying demand for housing is around 140,000 dwellings, but we can't build or complete 140,000 dwellings. Dr. Oliver said that the property sector needed skilled workers to build the required housing supply, but he insisted immigration still needed to be recalibrated. We lack skilled workers, so the migration program should be designed to bring those people into the country, he said, so we can skew the immigration intake to allow more of the skills that the construction industry needs, but that can still be addressed within a 200,000 intake. It doesn't have to be 500,000. Shoving more people in just means we end up chasing our tail in terms of housing supply. So what if we let migration rip? Well, analysis by PEXA-owned Informed Decisions shows that housing demand is set to soar across the country's four most populous states over the next two decades, fueled by a predicted 7.4 million national spike in population. Victoria is poised to rack up the largest increase in population, with 2 million people to be added by 2041. New South Wales is set to rise by 1.7 million, Queensland by 1.6 million, and Western Australia by 904,000, spurred by strong net migration. Tim Lawless, CoreLogic Research Director, said housing markets in these states would benefit from the strong population growth, which could support price growth. Population growth is a proxy for either rental or purchasing demand, because all of those people are going to need a roof over their head, he said. So it will provide fundamental driver enhancing prices, unless you see an appropriate supply response. Australia's population is expected to increase by 2 million people to 27.7 million by 2026. It will increase to 31.3 million by 2036 and jump to 35 million by 2046, or around 420,000 people per annum. Ivan Motley, founder of Informed Decisions, that's a wholly owned subsidiary of PEXA, the ASX-listed e-conveyancing platform, said population growth was a key driver for housing supply. People will go where there is somewhere to live, he said. Clearly, there's a shortage of housing and the lack of affordability, so we need to increase supply to address that. At the moment, we're not building enough dwellings to maintain stable vacancy rates and average household sizes. Melbourne is forecast to add 1.6 million people during the same period, outpacing Sydney's predicted population growth of 1.2 million. Brisbane's population is set to increase by 974,000, while Perth is expected to gain 979,000. To meet the housing demand for those increases in population, an estimated 723,000 homes will be needed across Melbourne. Sydney will need an additional 582,000 homes across Brisbane. An extra 381,000 homes are required, while Perth will need another 340,000 homes. Melbourne's west, southeast, and the inner city are forecast to post the strongest population growth, with nearly a million people set to be added in the next two decades. The combined population growth, which accounts for 46% of Victoria's overall population growth, will require 422,000 additional dwellings. Within these regions, population growth is concentrated in certain suburbs, such as Mickleham and Cranbourne South. Aaron Powell, head of research at Investigated, said Melbourne was ripe for solid house price growth in the medium to long term, boosted by increased demand from strong population growth and its lackluster performance in the past few years. I think investors should position themselves in areas like Melbourne, because having a low price growth in the city that usually has a history of strong growth can actually be a good sign, he said. Prices have not grown much over the last few years, so they will start to look more attractive. And we're also seeing rental growth really pick up, and it's clear that the rental supply isn't there, so cash flow will be more palatable. In Sydney, suburbs to the southwest, including Blacktown, Parramatta, and the inner city, are predicted to rack up the strongest population growth over the next 20 years. An additional 582,000 people are poised to move into those areas, which would require an additional 267,000 dwellings. And meanwhile, the report predicts new housing supply will be built in Riverstone, Penrith, Leppington, Campbelltown, Gilead, Parramatta, and Sydney City during the same period. And by the way, it's worth noting here that those areas are precisely the areas where mortgage stress at the moment is highest. So that's going to create an even bigger problem. So it's a simple choice, really. Are we going to dial back migration to get housing supply more in balance? Or are we going to let migration rip and force property prices higher, reducing housing affordability even more and creating more capacity problems wherever you look? And of course, we should also be talking about the infrastructure that's required to support significant population growth and housing construction growth, which doesn't exist either. So to me, the choice is simple. Migration needs to be brought back and quickly towards a more sustainable level and held there for at least the next 5 years. Shane Oliver is right, and those spruiking more construction to solve the problem are wrong. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.